الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In our previous class, we had began reading the chapter the author he mentioned, رحمه الله تعالى باب ما جاء في الفتن. باب ما جاء في الفتن. The chapter with regards to that which has come, clarifying the issues of the trials and tribulations that will occur and that will befall the Ummah. And the author, he mentioned some noble verses from the Book of Allah and a number of narrations clarifying this issue. We have seen that the fitan are many types, and they go back to the shubuhat and the shahawat. And Allah knows best what is intended here are those fitan and trials and tribulations that befall the Ummah, that befall the Ummah from revolution and revolting, and from fighting and killing one another. From fighting and killing one another. And this is a great trial and a great calamity. And this is something that the Prophet ﷺ has informed us that will occur. And likewise, it is something that the Messenger ﷺ as well has clarified how to behave and the proper methodology and path to traverse upon whenever this occurs. So the author, he mentioned these verses from the Book of Allah, وَاتَّقُوا فِتْنَةً لَا تُصِيبَنَّ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا مِنْكُمْ خَاصًا. And you should beware of the fitna, beware of the trials and tribulations that do not inflict and befall those who are wrongdoers only. Meaning that there are types of fitna and trials that will afflict the ummah and those who are wicked, and those who are wrongdoers, those who are upon oppression and the likes. It will befall them, and likewise it will befall those along with them from the righteous. And it will be an encompassing type of calamity and trials that will befall, that it will afflict and befall the good and the bad, the good and the bad. And likewise, he mentioned the verse as well, رحمه الله تعالى, the statement of Allah, قُلْ هُوَ الْقَادِرُ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَبْعَثَ عَلَيْكُمْ عَذَابًا مِنْ فَوْقِكُمْ أَوْ مِنْ تَحْتِ أَرْجُلِكُمْ أَوْ يَلْبِسَكُمْ شِيَعًا وَيُذِيقَ بَعْسَكُمْ وَيُذِيقَ بَعْضَكُمْ بَأْسَ بَعْضٍ. He mentioned the statement of Allah Azza wa Jalla, say to them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that indeed Allah, He is all able, that Allah, He is able, and He has the ability to send a punishment from above you and likewise from beneath your feet. And Allah, He has the ability to send punishment in this manner above us, from above our heads. And many nations from the previous generations, they were wiped out in this manner by storms and by stones coming from the sky, by storms and by winds and by stones falling from the sky, and the likes like this, until their nations were wiped out entirely. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. And the examples of that are made and mentioned in the noble Quran. And likewise others, they were wiped out from beneath their feet, and that they were completely finished and destroyed entirely from underneath their feet and from the punishment that came from Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah, He has the ability to do all of this to us likewise. He has the ability to do all of this to us likewise. أَوْ يَلْبِسَكُمْ شِيَعًا وَيُذِيقَ بَعْضَكُمْ بَأْسَ بَعْضٍ. Or also Allah Azza wa Jal, He has the ability as well to cause you to fall into party strife. Yani to cause you to become segregated into different sects and different groups, and each of you tasting the violence one from the other. Each of you tasting the violence one from the other. Yani, and this is the case here, and this is what the author is referring to from the fitan of the violence and the killings and the fighting for position and for authority and for power in the land, so on and so forth, that occurs between the Muslims. No doubt this is a great trial, and no doubt these are great fitan, and it's incumbent for a believer to seek refuge with Allah from the fitan and to avoid the trials and tribulations as much as he can, and to not be involved in or to share or take part in that whatsoever. It has been narrated by Zayd ibn Thabit radiallahu anhu that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told them one day, ta'awwadhu billahi min al-fitani, ta'awwadhu wa ta'awwadhu billahi min al-fitani ma dhahara minha wa ma batan, ma dhahara minha wa ma batan. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had ordered them with a number of affairs, and from them this statement here, ta'awwadhu billahi min al-fitan, seek refuge with Allah from the trials and tribulations, ma dhahara minha wa ma batan, that which is apparent from that and that which is hidden, that which is apparent from that and that which is hidden. So the So the companions at this time, they said, نَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الْفِتْنِ مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا وَمَا بَطَنَ. Yani complying to that commandment, we seek refuge with Allah from the fitn, that which is apparent from that and that which is hidden. So this is the case. A believer, he seeks refuge with Allah from the fitn, that he will not be tried by that, that he will not fall into that, that he will not partake in that and participate in that, that rather he will be far from that, and he will be away from that, and he will not be from those who are sharing in the spreading of that, or in the ills that come by way of that. Rather, he would avoid that as much as he can. The people of not, as they say, الفتنو تجتنب ولا تجتلب. الفتن تجتنب ولا تجتلب. That the fitan, they should be avoided and stayed away from, and they should not be brought about. They should not be brought about. The people should not be brought into the fitan. Rather, the people should be taken away from the fitan. So anytime there are trials and calamities in the ranks of the believers and the likes like this, what is an obligation is to take the people away from them and to save them from that, to help them to stay away from that and to avoid that and to not get them involved in that, so that their religion and their worldly affair can be safe, so that their honor and their reputation and their deen and their wealth and their property and their blood can be safe. As for those people who throw the layman head first into the fitan and they share and they make them share in that in order to benefit from that themselves for personal gains, then this is a foul way. This is not the way of a salaf as-salih, and it's not the way of the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rather, he ordered them to make a ta'udh billahi min al-fitn, meaning to seek refuge with Allah from that, meaning to avoid that and stay away from that. These narrations likewise will clarify the likes of these issues. Bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. So the author, he says, an ibn Amr radiyallahu anhuma, annuhu qal, kunna ma rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fi safarin, فنزلنا منزلا فمنا من يصلح خباءه ومنا من ينتظل ومنا من هو في جشره. The narration here is from Abdullah ibn Amr radiyallahu anhuma. He says that we were with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on a journey, and we had taken a stop, yani we had made a stop, and they're resting, they're in the process of traveling, and in this process they had stopped for rest. So he said, so from amongst us there are those who are fixing his tent, and others there are those who are practicing archery, and others there are those who are dealing with their animals and taking them to the pasture, and the likes like this. And this is the case. And when people are traveling, and whenever they stop to rest, each one is taking care of his business. Each one is taking care of his business. This one is here doing that, and that one is here doing this. Maybe one is setting up his tent, the other one is taking care of the food, the other one is taking care of this issue here. Some of them are practicing archery and the likes like this. This is a time whenever they're relaxing, in the middle of the journey. So then he says, إِذْنَادَ مُنَادِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمَ الصَّلَاةَ جَامِعًا. And if they were in this situation now in their journey, resting, each one of them taking care of his own personal affairs, and the likes like this, and suddenly the caller of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he called out, الصَّلَاةَ جَامِعًا. As-salata jami'ah, meaning that this is the call for a congregational prayer, not the five daily prayers. And he's calling the people here to come to the congregation and to come, yani because of an important situation and circumstance that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he wants to address them with. So then he says, فَاجْتَمَعْنَا إِلَى رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فَقَالَ. And we gathered at this time around the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said, إِنَّهُ لَمْ يَكُنْ نَبِيٌّ قَبَلِي إِلَّا كَانَ حَقًّا عَلَيْهِ أَنْ يَدُلَّ أُمَّتَهُ عَلَى خَيْرِ مَا يَعْلَمُهُ لَهُمْ وَيُنْذِرَهُمْ شَرَّ مَا يَعْلَمُهُ لَهُمْ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after gathering them in this manner, he said to them, Indeed there was no prophet before me. Indeed, there was no prophet before me except it was a right. Except for it was a right and obligation upon him that he would lead and direct his ummah to the good that he knows for them, and that he would warn them of the evil that he knows for them. And this is how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he began this sermon here, gathering them in this manner suddenly like this and informing them of this affair, that there was no prophet before him except it was incumbent upon him. Except it was incumbent upon him to inform his ummah, his nation, and his people, to inform them of all of the good that he knows for them, that has been revealed to him and that he was aware of, and he giving sincere advice. And likewise, it was incumbent as well for that all those previous prophets to warn the ummah of the evil that they know as well for them. And this is the reality of all of the prophets and messengers, that they were sent with a message from Allah Azza wa Jalla, and that they fulfilled that trust. They fulfilled that trust and they gave sincere advice, and they conveyed the message in a manner that is concise and precise and proper, and according to that which was revealed to them. And they fulfilled the trust of that. And this is from the belief in the messengers. From the pillars of faith is that we believe in the Rusul, al-imanu bi Rusul. And from that is we believe that they receive the message from Allah Azza wa Jalla, and that they conveyed that message, each one of them. Each one of them who had a message, each one of them who had the revelation, each one of them who had a law and a legislation, each one of them that had guidance from Allah Azza wa Jalla, they conveyed that. They conveyed that and they did not conceal that or hide that. That which they were ordered to convey, they fulfilled that trust. They fulfilled that trust, and likewise our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as well. So this is how he's beginning the affair. He says, وَإِنَّ أُمَّتَكُمْ هَذِهِ جُعِلَ عَافِيَتُهَا فِي أَوَّلِهَا وَسَيُسِيبُ آخِرَهَا بَلَاءٌ وَأُمُورٌ تُنْكِرُونَهَا وَسَيُسِيبُ آخِرَهَا بَلَاءٌ وَأُمُورٌ تُنْكِرُونَهَا. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, that in verity this nation of yours, meaning this ummah, the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ju'ila afiyatuha fi awwaliha, yani ju'ilat salamatuha wa istiqamatuha ala ad-din wa ala al-ahkam al-shar'iyya, yani ala al-aqida al-salima al-sahiha wal manhaj al-mustaqim, yani that the afiyah, the safety and the well-being of this ummah was placed in the beginning, meaning the steadfastness of this ummah, and the fact that they were upright upon the proper creed and proper belief and methodology, upon abiding by the law and the legislation properly in the best manner. This was given to the first of the ummah, this well-being and this goodness in the religion and steadfastness upon the limits and the law of Allah Azza wa Jal. This is something that was given to the first of the ummah. And as for the last part of this ummah, then there are affairs that will befall them. There are affairs and trials that will befall them that you disagree with and that you disapprove of. So the beginning of this ummah, there was well-being and safety in the religion, meaning that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was along with them in the beginning, and he was clarifying for them the religion, and the companions radiallahu anhum, they were abiding by that, and they were following that, they were establishing that in the proper manner. And likewise after them, the tabi'un, they continued upon the same manner, and they continued upon the same way, and they had success from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also after them, the atba' tabi'in. And these are the generations that are praiseworthy. These are the generations that are praiseworthy, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he clarified that they are those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with, and they have the upright and good religion. So this era here, they are the upright and the good, and they are the role models. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned in an authentic narration in Sahih Muslim, he said, النجوم أمنة للسماء فإذا ذهبت النجوم أتى السماء ما توعد. That the stars, they are a safety and security for the heavens. So if the stars go, then that which the heavens is promised will come to pass. Meaning that the heavens will remain strong and firm in their place so long as the stars are there. But if the stars fall, then the heavens will go away likewise, and the resurrection will occur. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he mentioned after that, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, wa ana amanatun li ashabi. فَإِذَا ذَهَبْتُ أَتَى أَصْحَابِ مَا يُعَدُونَ. And I am a safety and security for my companions. I am a means of safety and security for my companions. So if I go, then that which my companions were promised will come to pass, and he will afflict them. And there that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so long as he is amongst them, then they will be safe. They will be safe from the trials and tribulations, and from the fitin that will occur, and the wars that will occur, and the likes like this. Yani, amongst the ranks of the believers. But whenever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes, that which was promised, and he mean the decree of Allah from the occurrence of these fitin will occur. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, wa ashabi amanatun li ummati fa idha dhahaba ashabi ata ummati ma yu'adun. And my companions, they are a safeguard and a means of safety and security for my ummah. And if my companions go, then that which my Omar was promised will come to pass. And he from the trials and tribulations. So this is a great narration, clarifying this affair and interpreting what is intended here. إِنَّ أُمَّتَكُمْ هَذِهِ جُعِلَ آفِيَتُهَا فِي أَوَّلِهَا فِي أَوَّلِهَا. That indeed this Ummah of yours, this nation of yours, the well-being and the steadfastness and the firmness in the religion, being upright and proper on the deen of Allah, was made in the beginning. This is because of the presence of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and likewise after him his companions. And likewise after him his companions, radiallahu anhum. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam clarified likewise with regards to the Ummah, that the companions, radiallahu anhum, they are a safeguard and a means of safety and security for the Ummah. And he protecting them from falling into great trials and tribulations and innovation and misguidance. And misguidance, but if they go, or whenever they go, then that which the Ummah was promised, yani from the trials and tribulations that will afflict them, it will befall them. It will come to fall. So this was the case. So this is the example. This is the example of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with his companions. And after he died, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we know the fitan that occurred. We know the fitan that occurred and that began. And the people revolted against Uthman, radiallahu anhu, and the likes like this. And before that, they had martyred, they had killed the disbelievers, killed Umar radiallahu anhu. And likewise, after that, the Khawarij, they appeared. The Khawarij, they appeared and they killed Uthman radiallahu anhu. And the fitan they spread after this in a major manner. Waliyadhu billah. And likewise, even along with that, the Ummah was still united. The Ummah was still together and the religion was still established so long as those companions were alive, radiallahu anhum. And after that, after the death of the companions at this time, this is whenever the innovations became widespread and the fitan became widespread, and the Qadariyah and the Mu'tazila and the Murji'ah and all of these different sects and different ideologies, and the Rafidah, it became stronger and stronger, introducing their innovations and misleading and misguiding the Muslims, any from within the ranks. Waliyadhu billah. Waliyadhu billah. This narration here is an evidence for the obligation of taking the companions as role models and following their way. And if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that the afiyah of this ummah, the well-being and the goodness of this ummah, meaning salamatu hadhi ummah, wa istiqamatuha ala ad-deen. This is what it means. Ju'ila afiyatuha fi awwaliha. The fact that they will be steadfast and upright, they will be good and safe upon the good religion, upon the correct path. This is in the beginning. This was made in the beginning of the ummah. This is made in the beginning of the ummah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, likewise, wa ashabi amanatun li ummati. And my companions, they are a means of safety and security for my ummah. So if they go, then that which is my ummah was promised will come to pass. So this is clear that it's an obligation to understand the religion. If a person, he wants to have safety and security in his deen, if he wants to be upright and steadfast in the religion, if he wants to apply the deen of Allah properly, he has to understand the religion in the manner that they understood the religion and apply it in the manner that they applied it. They are considered a trust and a safeguard for the ummah, so long as they were there. So if a person is hoping to have safety in his religion, and he's hoping to be free from innovation and misguidance, then he has to hold fast with the way of the companions. And we've seen that likewise, the evidence clarifying that in the previous class, in the chapter with regards to the prohibition of revolting against the rulers, in the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, وَمَنْ يُشَاقِكَ الرَّسُولَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْهُدَى وَيَتَّبِعْ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ نُوَلِّهِ مَا تَوَلَّى وَنُسْلِهِ جَهَنَّمَ وَسَاءَتْ مَسِيرًا. That those who oppose the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after the guidance has been made clear to them, and they follow a path other than the way of the believers. And we have seen previously as well that the believers at the time of the revelation of this verse was the noble companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So therefore it's an obligation to follow their way. And those who follow a way other than their way, then they're threatened with the hellfire. نُوَلِّهِ مَا تَوَلَّى وَنُسْلِهِ جَهَنَّمَ وَسَاءَتْ مَسِيرًا. Then we'll leave him to what they chose. If they choose a way other than the way of the companions, then we'll leave him to what they chose and we will end them in the hellfire. So these here are evidences clarifying this likewise, the obligation of following al-manhaj al-salafi. Al-manhaj al-salafi, understanding the religion according to the understanding of a salaf al-salih. Understanding the Qur'an and the sunnah, according to the understanding of the companions, radiyallahu anhum, and those after them from the best generation of scholars of hadith, from the tabi'een and from the atba' tabi'een. So this is from the evidences clarifying that. And this is in reality the only way to be safe from the fitan. And this in reality is the only way to be safe from the fitan. From all of the fitan of the shubuhat and the fitan of the shahawat, to truly be safe from that. And to be free from that is to learn their way and to follow that way. And this is the means for safety and security. And this is the means for safety and security. As for those who follow another way, then they're threatened with the fire. And as for those who are not upon that way, then no doubt, then the calamities are going to befall them, affairs that you disapprove of and that you did not agree with. And now the Prophet ﷺ is clarifying these affairs, any of the weight of these affairs, these fitan that are going to come later in the later generations of this ummah, affairs that will be trials, affairs that will be calamities, great difficulties and tribulations that you will disapprove of and you will not agree with. The Prophet ﷺ, he says about them, وَتَجِيُّ الْفِتْنَةُ فَيُرَقِّقُ بَعْضُهَا بَعْضًا فَيُرَقِّقُ بَعْضُهَا بَعْضًا. The fitan is going to come in waves, and one of them is going to make the next one seem like it's light. And there's going to be a great trial that will come, and then it will pass. And the next trial that comes, it will make the previous trial seem like it's nothing. And the trials and the fitan, they're going to get worse. They're going to be more severe. They're going to be more dangerous. They're going to cause more harm and be more difficult. This is something that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has promised. تَجِيُّ الْفِتْنَةُ فَيُرَقِّقُ بَعْضُهَا بَعْضًا وَتَجِيُّ الْفِتْنَةُ فَيَقُولُ الْمُؤْمِنُ هَذِهِ مُهْلِكَتِي ثُمَّ تَنْكَشِفُ وَتَجِيُّ الْفِتْنَةُ فَيَقُولُ الْمُؤْمِنُ هَذِهِ. We'll see in another narration, likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is referring to this fitan here, yani al-fitan alati tamuju kamawj al-bahr. تَمُوجُ كَمَوْجِ الْبَحْرِ. That these will be trials and fitan that they move like the waves. They're surging like the waves of the sea. They're surging like the waves in the ocean. Any of the waves in the ocean, they're coming. And whenever the water in the seas becomes stirred up and it starts to surge, any of these waves, the waves come back to back. The waves, they will come back to back. And the affairs become very dangerous. And the sea, whenever the waves become back, any coming back to back, and they're high, and they're strong, and they're violent, this is from the most dangerous situations a person could find himself in. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is comparing these fitan and trials that will befall the ummah to like waves. But these waves, one will come, and a believer is thinking that it's going to destroy him, and then it will go away by the permission of Allah, and the next one will come, and it will make the previous one seem like it was nothing. It will make the previous one seem like it was light. يُرَقِّقُ بَعْضُهَا بَعْضًا يَنْ يُخَفِّفُ بَعْضُهَا بَعْضًا. It's as if the one will come and it's major. And then another one will come, making the previous one that was major seem like it's nothing because of how great it is. If we look at how great this ummah is and what this ummah went through, and the status and rank of the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the empire they had, and the authority they had, and the command that they had, and the honor and respect that they had, to what we have now today, you will see that the fitan, they are great. People don't need, the fitan are so great today, many people, they don't even see them. They're completely wiped out, drowned in the fitan, showing great preference to this life, and no preference for Islam, for the commands of Allah. This is a great trial and a great fitan. People have turned away from the religion entirely. Somebody may think that, for example, the enemies of Islam, killing the believers, fighting them and overcoming their lands and conquering them and taking captives and so on and so forth. This is no doubt major fitna. But that already passed. Now it's a greater fitan. Now the people are leaving the religion left and right. Those people that died upon Islam. As for today, people are living their life smiling and laughing and dying upon disbelief. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. Dying upon disbelief. Many of them have left Islam. Leaving Islam left and right. They have no care and concern. Like this. Or their religion, if they didn't leave it entirely, they're very weak. The religion is very weak. Very weak. And our children, some of us are raising our children to be upon the path of the Christians and the Jews. Taking our children to and putting them as children, little bitty girls and little bitty boys, and putting them in the hands of disbelievers to raise them and cultivate them and teach them the way of the disbelievers. And a great betrayal of the trust. This is a foul way. This is a great fitan. This is a great fitan that there will be a Muslim child that will be put in the hands of a disbeliever for 6, 7, 8 hours a day to raise them. To raise them upon the ways of disbelief. The people who die upon the ways of disbelief, they never see the mercy of Allah again. This is the fitan. that we have to be aware of.
And these fitna are coming like this. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's saying that the fitna are going to come in this manner, that one of them is going to make the next one seem like it's nothing. One of them is going to make the next one seem like it's nothing. Then a fitna is going to come, a believer, he's going to say, hadihi muhlikati. A believer is going to say, oh, this one is going to destroy me. And then it will go away by the permission of Allah, and he will not be destroyed. And then another one will come, and he will say, hadihi, hadihi, this one is going to kill me, this one is going to wipe me out, I'm not going to bear this one, I'm not going to make it out of this one. And the trials will come into a man like this, a believer, he thinks that he's not going to live through it. He's not going to pull out of it. And then it will go away by the permission of Allah, and by the mercy of Allah. And then another trial and fitna will come and try him. Try him in his wealth or in his property, try him in his life or in his religion, in his deen. And then he will think that he's going to be assured in this manner like this. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's making the example of these people going through fitna and trials, like the one who's drowning, like the one who's drowning in the water. Somebody who is in sea and he's lost in the water. He's lost in the sea and the waves are coming. A big wave will come and he thinks that this wave right here, he's not going to make it through it. He's thinking that this wave right here is going to wipe him out. Hadihi muhlikati, hadihi muhlikati. This wave right here is going to wipe me out and destroy me. He's drowning in the ocean, literally. Literally, this is the example. And then that wave will go by, and by the permission of Allah, his head will come up and he'll still be breathing. And then briefly after that, another wave comes. And this is how he's facing himself until he's drowned. That he's drowned in the ocean and he dies in this manner, or until somebody saves him by the grace of Allah Azza wa Jal. This is the example of the people and the trials and the fitna of this life. Drowning in the shubuhat, drowning in misconceptions and misunderstandings in the religion, and innovations and misguidance, calling on the graves, calling on the mashaykh, and having hearts attached to the creation with love and hope and fear, and trust and reliance, and the likes like this, upon innovation, upon falsehood, upon deviation in creed, and deviation in methodology. They're drowning. They're drowning, about to be wiped out. About to be wiped out. Any one of them, if they died in that manner, then he would be in a foul state, waliyadhu billah. Died upon calling on the grave, walking around making tawaf around the grave, or calling on the mashaykh, believing that his shaykh can hear him whenever he's in India, and in another land, and the likes like this, or he's in Egypt, and his shaykh is in another neighborhood, in another vicinity, or call on him, believing that he will save him. Or his shaykh is dead, he called on him, believing that he will save him and help him. And the likes like this is a major affair. This is a major affair. And they say, La ilaha illallah. And they say, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. Others, they're drowning in sins. They're drowning in disobedience. They're drowning in desires and whims and the likes like this. And it's just a moment before they're wiped out. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has informed us about these affairs. In order for us to be aware of them, in order for us to know about them, in order for us to not be deceived by this life and to not be tried by them, so that we learn about these fitna, so that we can save ourselves and our families. So we can be aware of these fitna and not fall into them. So we can stay away from them by the permission of Allah. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, ثُمَّ تَنْكَشِفُ وَتَجِيُ الْفِتْنَةُ فَتَكُولُ فَيَقُولُ الْمُؤْمِنُ هَذِهِ هَذِهِ. And then another trial will come, and the believer, he will say to himself, this is the one, and he's going to destroy me. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and now with his sincere advice, he mentioned the way out from this affair. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, فَمَنْ أَحَبَّ أَنْ يُزَّحْزَحَ عَنَ النَّارِ وَيَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ وَيَدْخُلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَلْتَأْتِهِ مَنِيَّتُهُ وَهُوَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَلْيَأْتِ لِلنَّاسِ الَّذِي يُحِبُّ وَيُؤْتَى إِلَيْهِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, so whoever would like to be distanced and taken far away from the hellfire and admitted into paradise, then let his death come to him while he believes in Allah and the last day. Then let his death come to him while he believes in Allah and the last day. Meaning, let him live a life of obedience and piety and sincere faith, and preparing for death, and preparing for the meeting of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Let him live in this manner. This is the only way that a person could die, or that death could come to him, while he believes in Allah in the last day. That he lives in that manner, striving his best, giving his greatest effort with sincere faith to fulfill the rights and to establish the obligations of La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. This is what it means to live a life, to live your life, and that death will come to you while you believe in Allah in the last day, fulfilling the rights and the obligations of this statement here, of the great shahad and the testification of faith, and the testification of faith. Along with that, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that also he should deal with the people in the manner he would like for them to deal with him. So the one who would like to be safe from these trials, he would like for himself to be removed from the hellfire
and to be admitted into paradise, then let his death come to him while he believes in Allah in the last day, and let him deal with the people in the manner he would like them to deal with him. In the manner he would like them to deal with him. And this is a great principle with regards to dealing with the people. And this is the means of success likewise, and to have upright and noble and good manners and conduct, that a person, he would deal with the people in the manner he would like for them to deal with him. In the manner he would like for them to deal with him. If a person, he wants to know how he should treat his father or how he should treat his mother, he should think, how would he like for his child to treat him? How would he like for his child to treat him? And this is how he should treat his father and his mother. If a person, he wanted to know how should he treat his brother, how should he treat his sister, and the likes like this, he should look and think how he would like for them to treat him. How would he like for them to treat him? If his brother violated his rights and then apologized, how would he like for his brother to do him? If he violated his brother's rights and then he apologized, would he like for his brother to take him to account and to be harsh and to be rude to him and to remind him of the favor that he has above him and that he violated his rights? Or would he rather prefer for his brother to accept the apology and to make it easy for him? No doubt the second one is the affair. So this is the scale to determine whether a person, he has dealing with the people with good manners or not. The neighbor, with a person on the job, or whatever the case may be. Anytime there's a situation or a circumstance, did he deal with that person in a manner he would like for them to deal with him if he was in their shoes, if he was in their situation? If so, then he had fulfilled the noble and the good conduct in that situation. And if not, then he failed in that affair. If not, then he failed in that affair. And anyways, this is a means to enter paradise and to be safe from the fitan, to believe in Allah Azza wa Jalla in the last day, and to live upon that truthfully, and likewise to treat the people in the manner one would like to be treated. And in every circumstance and in every situation, a person, he made a mistake, how would he like to be reminded? If somebody made a mistake, would he like for the people to expose his mistake and to put it in public and to publicize that and to make it known for everybody, so-and-so made a mistake, and to publicize that and to belittle him and to mock him and to make him feel bad? Or would he like for the people to come to him privately and to advise him sincerely and to help him to rectify his affair? So no doubt, this is the way to deal with a brother who made a mistake likewise, the same way he would like for them to deal with him had he made the mistake. And as well, this is also clarified in the hadith of Anas radiallahu anhu, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه, that not one of you truly believes until you love for your brother what you love for yourself. So from that is that you deal with him in the manner you would like for them to deal with you if you were in their situation. This is an amazing affair here. The shahid is coming now. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said along with this, after this, وَمَنْ بَايَعَ إِمَامًا فَأَعْطَاهُ سَفْقَةَ يَدِهِ وَثَمَرَةَ قَلْبِهِ فَلْيُطِعْهُ إِنْ اسْتَطَاعَ فَإِنْ جَاءَ آخَرُ يُنَازِعُهُ فَاضْرِبُوا عُنُقَ الْآخَرِ رواه مسلم. And if whoever gives his allegiance to an imam, whoever gives his allegiance, any meaning to the Muslim ruler, then he gives his allegiance, any shaking his hand and giving him the promise of his heart, any meaning whenever a person, many times they pledge allegiance, they'll shake hands. And likewise, the allegiance that is given is a belief and a creed, and it's not allowed to act treacherously and to betray and to say to somebody, to the Muslim ruler, that he has an allegiance with him and in his heart he has another intention. This is called betrayal, and this is called treachery, and this is from the worst and the most foul of the traits and characteristics, and this is from the ways of the hypocrites. So the one who pledges allegiance, he will give him his honor and trust, and he will tell him truthfully, and he will be sincere in his heart. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, whoever does this, whoever gives an allegiance to a Muslim ruler, then he must obey him as much as he can. And if somebody else comes along trying to dispute or challenge that ruler in his authority, then strike the other person with a sword. And this has proceeded previously likewise. This has proceeded previously likewise in the previous chapter. That whenever there is a Muslim ruler and his authority is established, and another person comes along, tries to challenge him in his authority, then the prophetic guidance in this situation here is to strike the one who's challenging the authority with the sword. Meaning that his his punishment and for the crime that he's committing of challenging the authority of the Muslim ruler that is established is that he should be executed. Somebody may say that this is something major. No doubt it's major. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would order for this person to die, to order for this person to be executed. But why? Why? The execution of this man, this is something major, right? This is something, yani, a Muslim would die. He's a Muslim. But in this time, yani, he's being ordered to be executed. But why? For the benefit of the Ummah, because if you leave that man to challenge the Muslim ruler and then he gathers people behind him and then they start fighting the Muslim ruler, now the streets are going to be full of blood and the Muslims are going to take up weapons against each other and they're going to be fighting one another and the streets are not going to be safe and it's not going to be possible to earn a living and there's going to be chaos and violence and bloodshed in the streets at the hands of the believers. And this will be the example of that. And you will be tasting the violence of each other. And his brother will be fighting his brother. His Muslim brother that just a few days ago, they're standing in prayer together at Isha time, foot to foot. Now they'll be fighting each other with a sword in his face or with a weapon in his face. And the likes like this, taking his wealth or taking his property or trying to kill him and trying to overpower him and overcome him. And the likes like this because of this person challenging the authority that's there. We've seen likewise in the previous narration as well, فَضْرِبُوهُ بِسَيْفِ كَأَنِ مَنْ كَانَ كَأَنِ مَنْ كَانَ. Strike him with the sword no matter who he is. And no matter how his rank is, or his status is, or his knowledge is, or his lineage is, whoever comes and challenges the authority that's already set, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to do away with that person because of the fitna and the trials that will come if that is not taken care of in the beginning. So the fact that he's executed, this is something major. But if he's left, it will be even more severe. If he's left to work his evil and work his corruption, then it will be even more severe. More lives will be less. More lives will be lost. More blood will be shed. So to stop that from the beginning, this is wisdom. This is better. For example, somebody who had he had cancer in his body. He had cancer in his toes, for example. May Allah cure all of the sick believers and protect us from these affairs. But if a person he had cancer, for example, in his toes, and the doctors told him, you got to cut your toe off, or else it's going to come to your leg. What is he going to do? I'm going to take the toe. He's gonna take the toe off because it's bad to lose a toe, but it's much better to lose a toe than to lose a leg. It's much better to lose, if you compare the two, to lose a toe than to lose the leg, then losing the leg is more severe. And then it could even go even more than that. It could affect the whole body and he could die. So this person here who is going against the Muslim ruler in this manner is trying to revolt against the ruler and take his authority, he's like a cancer. If he's not stopped, it's going to spread. If he's not stopped, it's going to spread, and there's much evil that's going to occur. And we see examples of that in many of the Muslim countries today and in recent history. Waliyadu billah. So this is something that is clear. This is the fitan that a believer, he should be aware of and he should stay away from. The author, he says now, وَلَهُ عَنْ أَبِي هُرَيْرَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ مَرْفُوعًا بادروا بالأعمال فتنا كقطع الليل المظلم يصبح الرجل مؤمنا ويمسي كافرا ويمسي مؤمنا ويصبح كافرا يبيع دينه بعرض من الدنيا. Now the author, he mentioned the narration of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, بادروا بالأعمال, hasten to do the good deeds, hasten to do the good deeds, فتنا, hasten to do them before the fitan come. The fitan. What is the description of the fitan? كَكِطَعِ اللَّيْلِ الْمُظْلِمِ. Hasten to do the good deeds and try to do them before the trials come. The trials that are like that are dark as a pitch black night. They are dark as a pitch black night. Any meaning that these fitan and these trials that occur, they're going to be dark. Any full of darkness, full of evil, and likewise dark, meaning the people are not going to be able to identify them. Many times the people, they're not able to identify the fitan in the beginning, or they're not able to realize. Many people, they're affected by them. The people, they come, the people of fitna, what do? They mix it up. They mix up the truth and the falsehood, and they make it seem appealing, and they make the fitna seem like it's something good. And the people who do not have sound mind, or they don't have strong knowledge or firm methodology, they'll be affected by that. The people who are not able to stop and to look at the situation, and to look at what they're calling to, and to ponder and to reflect over the outcome of those actions and statements. They're the ones that will fall into that. They're the ones that will fall into that. As for the people who have sound mind, as for the people who have knowledge and understanding, then they'll look at what's going on. And they will see that these are fitin, because they will realize that the one who does this, this leads to that. If you do this, it would lead to that. If you say this, this would lead to that. So there are the people who have sound mind, and they have resolve and strong determination, they will be able to see these affairs. But as for the layman and the general public, then it's easy for the people of fitin and trials to make it seem, to make it unclear for them, and to decorate the issues until they follow them, until they believe them. And many times they'll brainwash them, and they'll use narrations and the likes like this and misinterpret them or misuse them or conceal fatawa or conceal other narrations and the likes like this in order for the layman to be affected by the likes of these trials. For the layman to be affected by the likes of these trials. The people of not, as they say, al-fitna, tuqbilu al-fitnatu kal-fatat al-hasna. Yani that the fitna, it comes like a beautiful girl. Watud biru ka ajuj shanta. And it goes, and whenever it leaves, whenever the fitna is coming, it's like a beautiful girl. And whenever it's going away, it's like an old woman with gray hair. And he meaning that many times the people, the fitna, whenever they're in the beginning, the people decorate it and they make it seem good. Like what they were doing recently about what they call the Arabi al-Arabi, the Arabic Spring. What were the people of misguided saying? Oh, it's a great mercy. Salman Auda and Qaradawi and all those misguided individuals. What were they saying? Oh, it's a great mercy. I think that this revolution is a great mercy, and it's going to be good for the Syrian public and the citizens. It's going to be nothing but mercy for them. Revolution, establish the. And now look at them. They're finished. Listen.
They dream about khilafah.
Yeah, they're lying. They don't want khilafah. Kadhabun. Kadhabun, the khilafah. He sent his children over here. What kind of khilafah is that? They're liars. That's what they're saying to the people. And they all believe that, oh yes, mercy. This is thawra rahma. That's what they're saying. The revolution of mercy is going to be good. The outcome is going to be beneficial. Look at it. Go to the street. Now look at the street. There's not even a street there. There's not even any street there, and that's not it's not exaggeration. The street's gone, destroyed. It's finished. There's not even a bread. You can't go get bread or milk. They're in a very bad situation. May Allah rectify the affairs of the ummah. But this is what they call to. They make it seem good. They make it sound nice. They make it sound appealing, and it looks good to the layman in the beginning. And then they get involved in it, and whenever it's gone, they're like, "Oh man, what happened?" They're the ones who lose. The laymen, they're the ones who lose. These individuals take advantage of the believers. This is the way of the people of fitin. This is the way of the people of misguidance. And those who imitate them and those who resemble them likewise, from those who claim Salafiyyah. So in any case, this is the issue. They use the Muslims for their personal advantages. And then in the end, they're the ones who benefit. And as unfortunately, the laymen, they're the ones who are affected. And they're the ones who lose. Wallahu al-musta'an. Wallahu al-musta'an. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, hasten to do good deeds. Hasten to do the righteous deeds before the fitin come. That's like a pitch black night. So this is a great affair. The fitin, they're dark. The fitin is dark. So a believer, he has to have light to be able to see. A believer, he has to have light to be able to see, to identify the fitin, to avoid it and stay away from it. It's very beneficial to ponder over these narrations and the arrangement or the order that the author has placed them in, rahimahullahu ta'ala, which is something that he was blessed with, and to look into a number of evidences, and from a number of different sources, and then to arrange them in a beautiful and a very beneficial manner, establishing fundamentals and great benefits in the religion. And this book, in reality, is very similar to the methodology that he followed in Kitab al-Tawheed, mentioning the chapter titles and following up that with verses of Allah Azza wa Jal, and then narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and narrations from the Salaf al-Salih. Yani no words from the author. Hardly whatsoever. But if we see in the previous narration, the discussion was about the fact that the fitna that they will come like waves, wiping out the people. And to a believer, he thinks that he'll be destroyed in some of them. And then it will go, and another will come. And the one that comes later, it will make the one that had preceded seem like it's something small or light. And he compared to the devastation and the evils that come with those any after, with those after. Here in this narration, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's mentioning advice, and he, before those fitin come, before those fitin come. What did he say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Badiru bil a'mal. Badiru bil a'mal. Ayy al-a'mal as-saliha. Haysin. Badiru yani sabiqu. Sabiqu wa sari'u. Ila al-a'mal as-saliha. Badiru haysin to do the righteous and good deeds. And he, before the fitin come, before the trials come that are like pitch black night, meaning that it's, they're very dangerous. In a pitch black night, a person, he's not able to see where he's going. Sometimes a person, if he does not have light and it's very dark outside, maybe he thinks that he's going in the right direction, he's going in the wrong direction. Maybe he thinks that he's in somewhere that is safe, but in reality he's somewhere that is dangerous. Maybe he wants to go in one direction, in reality he's going another. Maybe he wants to put his hand on something and think that it's something safe, and in reality it's something that's dangerous. Maybe there's something lurking around the corner or right next to him, right behind him, he doesn't even know it, it's coming for him. It's coming for him, he's not able to see. So this is the example of the fitin. The fitin like this, they'll be like pitch black night. A person, he'll not be able to know. Many times an individual, he'll not be able to know if it's right or if it's wrong. Sometimes it will even affect a person so much that he'll believe that those who are wrong are right. That those who are wrong are right, and he will defend them. And he will defend them in the likes like this because of the fitin with this particular individual have overcome him, and he does not have a light to determine or to differentiate. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's saying, before the likes of these fitin come, what should you do? Badiru. Badiru bil a'mal. Hasten to do the righteous and good deeds. Hasten to do the righteous and good deeds. Because likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has mentioned in another narration, in a Tirmidhi, from the Haditha ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, a great wisdom and clarification of this. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, ta'arraf ila Allahi fi racha, ya'rifka fi shiddah. Get to know Allah Azza wa Jal in ease, in the easy and good times, and He will know you in the bad times. Meaning, worship Allah Azza wa Jal and obey Him in the good times. تعرف إلى الله يعني بعبادته بعبادته to worship Allah Azza wa Jal and fulfill the obligations of faith and establish the religion properly. Whenever there's good times, whenever there's peace and safety, whenever there's ease and there's health and prosperity in these times, and whenever the hardship comes, Allah, He will help you and He will aid you. Allah, He will help you and He will aid you. So the one who spends the time before the fitin come, before the trials come, whenever things are peaceful and everything is good and life is going smoothly, he remembers Allah in this time, and he's not overcome by these blessings, and he's not these favors and this goodness and this prosperity and this health. He's not deceived by that. This does not cause him to forget Allah and to neglect the commandments of Allah Azza wa Jalla. It does not deceive him or trick him and cause him to fall into perpetrating the sins and being negligent with regards to the commandments and prohibitions. Rather, he remembers Allah and he establishes the religion to the best of his ability in the good times. Whenever the calamities befall and he calls on Allah, Allah will respond to him. Whenever the hardships come, he will have the faith and he will have a strong relationship and connection with Allah Azza wa Jal that will carry him and be a means for him to be able to bear those troubles and trials that are coming later, and those fitin that are dark and evil, like the darkness of a pitch black night. So the one who accustoms himself in this manner, he has a strong relationship with Allah Azza wa Jal. Whenever there's good times and the bad times, his faith will carry him. In the bad times, in the hard times, in the times of difficulty, when the trials come, his faith that he had already established and his relationship and connection with his Lord and the obedience that he was already upon will be a light for him to see the fitin and to be guided away from that and to not be tried by that. So therefore, hasten. Before the fitin come, hasten now to do the good deeds. Hasten now to do the good deeds and to draw near to Allah Azza wa Jal, because there's going to be trials that are dark. There's going to be trials and tribulations that are dark, like the darkness of a pitch black night. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, in these trials, when they come, what will happen? يُسْبِحُ الرَّجُلُ مُؤْمِنًا وَيُمْسِي كَافِرًا. A man, he will come to the morning while he's a believer, and by the evening he will disbelieve. وَيُمْسِي مُؤْمِنًا وَيُسْبِحُ كَافِرًا. In the evening time, he is a believer. By the time the morning comes, he has disbelieved. He has disbelieved, meaning that in a brief moment, a person, he will flip and he will change. How will it happen? يَبِيعُ دِينَهُ بِغَرَضٍ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. He will trade his religion. He will sell his religion. يَبِيعُ دِينَهُ وَيَتْرُكُ دِينَهُ. For what? غَرَضًا أو عَرَضًا مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. عَرَضًا مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. The عَرَضًا مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. عَرَضًا مِنَ الدُّنْيَا is something, the عَرَض is something that is عَرَض. يَأْتِي وَيَزُول. For a miserly portion of this worldly life, something that comes and goes. For some money, for example. For a daughter, for example, that comes and goes. A person who sells his religion for the likes of this. These are great trials that a believer should be aware of to avoid them and stay away from them. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.